Okay, I'm just going to speak about my seasons just quickly, just as an intro. And about 2 years ago, Jan Kaur from Stellenbosch, he spoke about creating stones in your life, like altars of every single season of your life. And it came from Joshua. Remember, he took the stones out of Jordan, the 12 tribes, and he built it as a remembrance. So I just want to go through quickly so that after this you'll know me a little bit. In 1970, I was born, and just so that you know a little bit about history, the Boeing 747 took its first flight in 1970, okay? So the big man was born when the big plane went up. Okay, so that was a good season, and it's still continuing 44 years later, okay? And then in 1985, you know, we have seasons of our life where we have challenges. My parents got divorced, and that took me about another 10 years of a season to actually deal with that and come out of it without crying if I talk about it. So something that impacts you for your whole life but takes quite a long season to actually work through, okay, hence the broken heart. My schooling career, for all of you Selbornians out there, bad luck. In the 1980s, Dale College were the school in this area with unbeaten years in 1988 and 1989. So I'm just holding that up. Thank you, doing well. A little bit higher. She's a gym lady. She can handle it. And also honored enough with the gift that God gave me and the ability with rugby to play for border schools in 1989 with Mark Andrews as my lock partner. Then in 1990, I went to Army, and that was a season and a half that I can keep you here the whole morning about, but I won't. But it was a year of really growing up as a man, taking responsibility. And I was fortunate enough to go to infantry school, where I became a lieutenant after being shunted around and going to fetch leaves on that tree, and then that tree, and then dur and gone that tree over there. But that was a season in my life where I actually learned a lot about myself. Then about a 19... that looks beautiful. Thank you. Doesn't that kootin look lovely? And the lady holding it up. For the next 19 to 20 years, I was in cash and carry business, and I sold a lot of baked beans, hence the baked beans. It's a food business, so you sell a lot of staples. And that was a season that sort of ended where the arrow goes down over there, just before the on-tap sign in 2010. So that was a season where I learned a lot about business, and a lot of things happened in my life during that time. Okay. 1992, I was privileged enough as a 21-year-old to be with all the O-Mana when Border was still Border. We won the Sports Pinot Trophy that year. We used to play cross-section with Curry Cup. And as a young man, I had to take a stand for God, which was testing. And it was a season that sort of started in my rugby ability and being able to just show the guys how God can impact your life in that season. Thank you. And then, I shouldn't be looking, 1996, 18 years later, Lee would kill me, but she's in the UK, so that's fine. We were married, and that's been a season that isn't ending. It's a season of a lot of learning in the beginning. I'm sure the married couples can testify to that. But it's a special bond that's created for the rest of your life. So that's a never-ending season. I was transferred then to Macleay for a couple of years. And in 1999, I was privileged enough to come back to Queenstown, which was in traveling distance from East London. And I played for Border for the next 3 or 4 years. And in 1999 was a very special team. We ended seventh in the Curry Cup proper. Gert Smal was our coach, and it was a very successful Border Bulldogs era. And with dandans, you know, at rugby, after if you man of the match and that, you have to have dandans, which would normally involve alcoholic drinks. I was very committed to God in that season, which I am now too, Andre. but I was drinking tab only, so the guys knew my stand, that even when I won man of the match against Natal, they poured a tab for me in my down glass. So it wasn't even a case of having to say I'm not going to drink it. So It was a good season for me where I spoke into a lot of their lives that lasted quite a few years after that. 2004, my daughter Kyra was born. She's 10 years old now. And that's a season that's ongoing, but it's also another stone and pillar in my life. 2010 was probably the most difficult season of my life. Had about 8 months without work and for certain reasons, but really a season of introspection where I did a lot of soul searching, dealt with a lot of issues in my life, mistakes that I had made. But God was so gracious to me that the next season in my life was on tap in 2011, where the down arrow became an up arrow, and I was fortunate enough to be able to buy the business and take a business that was battling, that was basically going to close, that financially it should have closed, and how God has just given me wisdom and given me favor to be able to change it around, that 3 years later we've grown and grown and grown, and it's just amazing, and I give honor to God for that. Last 6 months we've opened another store in Umtata. So that's a season that's ongoing, and it's really a season that I'm honored to be part of, thanks to God. Then just the last season, as you know, about eight weeks ago, I had a back operation. So sometimes God has a different way of saying relax and lie flat. So I had no option, but that's what happened. And that was a season in itself. Thank you, guys. Here's your chocolate. You want to hand them out there, eh? You just put it down. Let us hand them out for one each there. There's your roller. Roller's on the left. You all got a pecan nut this morning, eh? So it is part of the message, so we'll talk about it just now. Okay, embracing your season. I'm just going to get into it quickly. Chris Valatin says the following: there is enough grace today to get done everything that needs to be done. There's enough grace to get done everything that needs to be done now in the season that you're in. And he goes on to pray the following. He says, Father, we ask that in our daily lives that we would not be anxious or overwhelmed by anything, but that we would find you in our season of life that we are in at the moment and align ourselves with the grace of that season. Align ourselves with the grace of that season. And just the season that I've come out of, if one thing that was highlighted to me is that in every season we're in, we need to position ourselves under the Father. There's a positioning that needs to take place. Because if you don't position yourself where you're supposed to be, under Jesus Christ, it becomes a difficult season. You know, we've heard before that God doesn't move, we move, not so. So our positioning under God is something that He doesn't change. He's there the whole time. You're in a season for a reason. But it's how we move towards Him and position ourselves under Him. An outcome with God will always have victory as opposed to an outcome without Him. An outcome with God will always have victory as opposed to an outcome without Him. Bill Johnson says the following two quotes. First one is, faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It denies it a place of influence. You mind if I remove my jacket? I'll just repeat that. Faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It denies it a place of influence. In every season, we have two choices. This is about good seasons too. You could see the just 11 seasons that I had. I've had quite a few others. But there's positive seasons there and negative. There's tough seasons and there were easier seasons. But in every season, we have two choices. Either we can embrace a season we're in. We can say, God, what are you saying to me in this season? Or we can moan and complain about the season that we're in. Not so. Am I correct? You got two options. And Bill Johnson goes on to just get the moaning out of the way quickly. He says the following: complaining proves nothing but that you can hear the voice of the devil. Complaining proves nothing but that you can hear the voice of the devil. And isn't that true, you know? Isn't that true? When we complain, it becomes a downward spiral and cycle. And God's not like that. You know, God wants us to see the positive, look for the positive, seek his face, let him tell you what the purpose of that season is. Okay, if you've got your Bibles with me, I just want you to turn to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 15. Actually under pressure a little bit this morning, because normally when I preach, Andre and Sonica aren't here, and they're here today, so it's really been a lot of pressure. If you see any sweat coming out of the shirt, you know why. Okay. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 15. It says, there is a time for every season, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. It's sometimes a difficult one. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And he goes on to say, what does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden of God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time or season. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that man will revere him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. So that's basically a scripture just going through time, you know, every single season, and talking about times to act and times to be quiet, times to speak, like it says. So I just want to highlight a few points from there. Is number one, that God appoints the times and seasons. And I can tell you this morning from my life, God's timing is the perfect timing. You may think, maybe you're in a difficult season. Let me tell you, God's timing and purpose for this season is what you need. You know, sometimes difficult seasons build character more than easy seasons. And we need to be able to look to God in all different types of seasons. These words are for every person, every place, every circumstance. God has appointed the times and the seasons. That should bring hope, because God is in control. God always has a purpose in what he does, even if we have a hard time understanding what that purpose is. And we go to a scripture that's well quoted and well known, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Then secondly, just drawing from that scripture, we live in a world of change and we have to embrace change. You know, the evidence of change is all around us, not so. If we look at this pecanut, where's the pecanut? You've all got a pecanut, and you can eat it, by the way. It's fresh from our tree. Okay. If we look at change of seasons, just on a pecanut, I just did a bit of research on it. This tree was first discovered in the 16th century in the Americas. Okay, it's considered to be the most value of nut species. If you are a nut connoisseur, that's for you. It can grow over 100 feet tall, and it can live for more than 1,000 years old. And I have a huge one in my driveway. But if you look at the tree, if you look at the nut, when we bought the house in November, the guy said to us, the previous owner, that this is the best tree. Whatever you do, it's in the middle of your driveway. Drive around it. Don't cut it down. But the tree, this nut, can only come forth when the tree actually, to a certain sense, dies until winter comes. It was full of leaves in the summer season, and these nuts started appearing midsummer to end of summer, but they were totally green. You couldn't pick them. I tried to pick one. I picked one. Couldn't open it. It's not ready. You know, it wasn't brittle enough to be able to crush. And you had to wait for the winter season to actually come for it to fall down off of the tree to then gather it. Okay. So the same thing in our lives. We have seasons of sometimes things need to perish. Things need to wither. God identifies things in our lives that we need to deal with, to do something about it so that the new season and the new life that this nut brings can come about. So it's the same thing. Just a scripture with seed, and I know Paul's talking about the church here, but to a degree also God makes everything grow, just like he made this pecan nut grow. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. He's talking about the church there, but also I feel in our lives too, you know. God plants things. He plants things for a reason. And sometimes you don't reap it in that season, comes in the next season. But God the whole time looks at our actions, our behaviors, our characters, and he's watering it to bring ultimately something that you can enjoy. And then the summer season comes, and believe me, there's no better tree for any bird in the neighborhood to rest on. If you're looking for shade, if you come and visit and have coffee with me, there's shade for your car. So after that, you can get into a nice, cool car. So there's a purpose for that tree, and I love the tree. So spring, also in seasons, becomes summer. Summer becomes fall. Fall becomes winter, and winter becomes spring. So it's continuously moving. It's changing. Some of us, yeah, become old, and the new, the young become aged, and the new become old. So it's continuous charms of change. And we as Christians go through a lot of changes, don't we? First, we are blind, we are dead sinners, and then we are made alive. And then we go a little bit deeper, and we discover some more sinfulness within us, and God continues to change our hearts. So it's a daily changing of hearts. Growing to be like him, more like him. This change is good. It stretches you. It challenges you by causing you to grow through the trials, through the good times, the bad times, and the different seasons of life to be ultimately what? Like Christ. Because that's his calling, to be more like him. Question you today in your Christian walk, are you the same as you were 10 years ago? Are you the same as you were maybe 5 years ago? Or maybe 1 year ago, where are you in your walk, your season with God? You know, in army, they taught us a thing called, I don't know if it's even Afrikaans. It's a funny, stupid word. It's called makiri pas. Is it an Afrikaans word or did they just create it? Okay, it's not Afrikaans, it's not English, it's army language. It's called makiri plus, but I can't do it now because I've just had a back up. But it's basically running on the spot in the same area. You don't move. You just run. You haul. Go, go, go. And our Christian walk cannot be like that. We cannot stay in the same place. We're either going forward, we're either growing, or we're going backwards. But we can't makiri plus. We can't stay in the middle. It just doesn't work. Okay, third point, just taking from that scripture. God does not change, and his promises are true and trustworthy. In my life, 100 times over, it's been proven. God has not changed. His promises to me are true and trustworthy. Imagine a God if he did change. What happened if one day God was nice, the next day he was mean? One day he was loving, the next day he hated. What if God altered between merciful and judgmental? Think about it. Wouldn't be such a good God. It would be one of those lower G gods of India. Not the capital G God that we serve. the one and only true God. So I thank God that he's unchangeable. You can count on him. If you don't like that slogan, it's my opposition's. You can count on us, Plumlink. But you can count on God. Okay, just ignore that you heard that. You can count on God in all seasons. In all seasons. Okay, the fourth point there. God has set everything for its time. Enjoy yourself. Live life to the full. Make the best of each season. Everything, like I said, has its purpose. Bill Johnson says the following, and I want you to listen to this. The best thing this world can get is you being you with God all over you. The best thing this world can get is you being you with God all over you. Because each and every one of us are created for a purpose, but we created individually with our own good points, our own things that we have to bring, and our purpose in life is individual purpose. God has set, like the scripture says, eternity in the hearts of men. This means that we all were created with the number one, a spiritual thirst, number two, eternal value, and all of these things, nothing but the true God can really satisfy, as he knows the beginning from the end. I just wrote down just 10 unchangeables. 10 unchangeables, because we're looking at, like I said, there's always change that happens all the time in the world. But 10 unchangeables that you can deposit your money in the bank and know that you're going to get a guaranteed return from. The Bible will always have the answers. If you're looking for answers for your season, this book will always have them. Prayer will always work. The Holy Spirit will still move and will always move. God will still inhabit the praises of his people, just like we were doing this morning. God will inhabit the praises of his people. There will still be anointed preaching in the house of God. There will always be anointed preaching because God is here. His presence is here. There will still be singing in the house of God, praises to him because he is worthy. God will still always pour out his blessings on his people. Why do I say that? Because this book tells me that. There is always room at the cross for each and every one of you. So don't be afraid. Just like Jesus said there, everything is possible with God. Don't be afraid. Bill Johnson says the following about every season in your life, that if you don't seek God in the crisis, you won't seek God in success either. If you don't seek God in a crisis, you won't seek God in success either. I want to turn that around too, is that we need to seek God in the good times just as much as we do in the bad times, because normally it works the other way around. And God is in control of all seasons. What we need is wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And if you've got your Bibles, turn to Daniel 2, 19 to 23. And this is Daniel with King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, the guys are trying to interpret the dream and no one can get it right. And Daniel seeks God's face and he says the following. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his." And the important verse that I want to highlight is verse 21. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and he deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel goes on to say, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness and light dwells with him. I thank and praise, O God, my Father. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. And just highlighting verse 21, he changes times and seasons. It's in God's hands. He ordains them. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. And wisdom's an important thing. As a businessman, without wisdom, I'm going to take a hammering. Without godly wisdom, I'm going to take a bigger hammering. I can tell you now. So let's just look what Alexander the Great did with the bit of wisdom that he had. So we all need a little bit of wisdom, okay? Just like she was saying, it was stupid, but wisdom's important. I'm sure the soldiers saw that Alexander was missed it there. But just going on for wisdom, I just wanted to touch on that in the seasons of life I feel that are important is James 1:5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I just want to highlight a few things about wisdom because I feel it's very important for all seasons that we face in our lives. Wisdom is the ability to make wise decisions in difficult circumstances and seasons. The ability to make wise decisions in difficult circumstances and seasons. The wisdom that we need in season has three distinct characteristics. Number one, it is practical wisdom. Not so. In a season that you're facing, you don't want wisdom that's out there. You want practical wisdom to enable you to make the right decision. So it is not a wisdom isolated from suffering and trials, but a tool by which trials are overcome. It's a practical wisdom. Number two, it is a divine wisdom. God's wisdom goes beyond common sense. For example, in a trying circumstance like 1985 in my life, you have a choice. But God's wisdom says, be joyous even in that trial of a season. Be joyous, be joyful. So it goes against, contrary to what the world would actually say. And then thirdly, lastly, just for wisdom, it is Christ-like wisdom. Asking for wisdom is ultimately asking to be Christ-like. The Bible identifies Christ as the wisdom of God, not so. You can look it up in 1 Corinthians 1:24 and 2:1-7. So it's Christ-like wisdom, and that's what we need in our daily lives. So I just want to end off with, I was just praying to God just about the church and with us going into Southernwood and that, and God took me to a scripture that I feel is important for the season that we're going into. And I believe God is taking us as a body into a season of great favor and a season of us being used as a catalyst to bring many people to salvation, to knowing God. And to confirm this, when I was just praying, God took me to a scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:2, and it says the following, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. And he goes on to say, I tell you now is the time of God's favor. And now is the day or the season of that salvation. So I believe that's important scripture for our church going forward in the next season.